Luke chapter 9. If you would, let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9. The Bible says in verse 51, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?'" You ever read your Bible and wish Jesus had said certain things? I wish Jesus had looked at James and John and said, "Boys, if I need your help, I'll let you know." You reckon James and John think that the Lord couldn't call down fire from heaven if he wanted to? Bible says in verse 55, "But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." Let's pray. Dear Father, I sure appreciate the good music, the good singing, the opportunity to give, and just what we are able to enjoy every time we come together. And Father, now as we open up the Word of God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will do what I cannot do. Lord, help us to be attentive. Give your people ears to hear and a heart to receive. God, I know that there are many needs in our midst. I know there are a lot of people hurting. I know there are people who need to draw nigh to Thee. I know, God, that every one of us need a touch from heaven. Would you please, please meet with us and help your people for your glory? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage where the Lord looks at James and John and says, the Bible says he rebuked them. Had it been Peter, we wouldn't have been surprised. It sounds like something Peter would say. "Hey, you want me to call down fire from heaven or cut somebody's ear off?" You'd have sort of expected it from Peter, but the Lord says they don't know what manner of spirit they are of. First, what manner of spirit? Secondly, ye are of. I don't think they realized what kind of spirit they had or where it came from. And that's what the Lord says to them. Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that we are to try the spirits, whether they are of God. Now, I understand that that passage in 1 John 4 is talking about false teachers. But nonetheless, the Bible says we're to try the spirits of what sort they are, whether they are of God. Now, listen to me. Satan wants to control your spirit. Satan wants you to have a bad spirit, not a good spirit. Does the Bible not say in Ephesians chapter 2 that when we were lost, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience? The world has a certain kind of spirit. And the Bible says when you and I were lost, we walked according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a bad spirit? Could we just have a time of confession? How many of you have ever had a bad spirit? In the last 5 minutes. How many of you have never had a bad spirit? Raise your hand, let us see who the liars are. So we all agree that there are times we've had a bad spirit. Now, let me ask you this. Right this moment, what kind of spirit do you have? Right this moment, what kind of spirit do you have? I'll tell you how spiritual I can be, and I'll put it in the form of a question. Have you ever had a bad spirit and asked yourself, is this a satanic attack or am I just being stupid? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you feel like you just can't get it straightened out. You just can't say, you can't shake yourself. You can't figure out what's going on. You don't know why you're walking around with this attitude problem. And you're asking yourself, am I under attack? Is this the devil or am I just being stupid? I think I'm going to call this sermon Satan or stupid. Is it Satan or is it just stupid? The sad thing is I'm encouraged that James and John seem to have the same problem. It's sad, but I'm reading about James and John, and these are two of the disciples. These are guys that spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and they've got a bad spirit. And they don't know where it came from. I hate it, but that encourages me. Probably ought to encourage you too. Now, the Bible mentions a lot of different kinds of spirits. There's an unclean spirit, an evil spirit, a seducing spirit. The Bible says in the last days, it talks about doctrines of devils, so there's a doctrinal spirit, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of heaviness. You ever just had a heavy spirit? That's what the Bible calls a spirit of heaviness. How about a spirit of slumber? Some of you got that one right now. A spirit of, and by the way, it's not an evil spirit, it's you should have went to bed last night. I can tell you what that is. That ain't the devil. That's stupid. I'm just trying to be a blessing. Don't you want to know if it's Satan or stupid? I can tell you which one that is. You didn't need to be on Craigslist till midnight. And then there's a haughty spirit. You ever seen anybody with a haughty spirit? You ever seen a 3-year-old strut? You can have a haughty spirit when you're 3. If you read in your Bible, you know what the Bible says? There are some people that got full of pride and it ruined them. You know who I'll just get off the subject here. You know who I pray for a lot of times in our church? I know in the last few years, some of you have just started a small business. And God's blessing it. I've seen some young men in the church. Man, over the last year I've heard people say, I'm going to work for Brother Dean. I'm going to work for Brother Josh. And I'm talking about these guys that have started their businesses and God's blessing it and they need help. Let me tell you guys something. Success can ruin you. You can actually get to thinking you did it. When God did it. It doesn't matter whether it's academic success, athletic success, business. You can get a haughty spirit and God take His hands off. Always remember when God blesses you that God did it, not you. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in for what it's worth. I don't think Brother Dean or Brother Josh has a bad spirit. I just use them as an illustration. They got a great spirit, as a matter of fact. But boy, success can do some bad things to you. So you can have a haughty spirit. You can have a wounded spirit. Boy, I've met some people with a wounded spirit. They just can't get over it. A troubled spirit. A broken spirit. An angry spirit. A bitter spirit. You ever been around somebody with a bitter spirit? A defiant spirit. All these different spirits in the Bible, but whichever one you choose, the question is, where did it come from? Satan? God? The world? Or just your flesh? Fair question. You can have a bad spirit, and God may not have... Now, sometimes God will send you a spirit. In the Old Testament, He sent them a lying spirit. Sometimes a bad spirit comes from the devil. Sometimes you'll just get around the world and you'll pick up on it. Spirits can be contagious. And then sometimes it's just your flesh, your rotten flesh that we all battle. I preach a message. I've preached it here. I've preached it just about everywhere I've ever been. It's an old sermon, probably 20 years old, on 3 steps to a broken spirit. 3 steps to a broken spirit. You get hurt. Then you get hard. And then it turns to hatred. I watched some people in the Bible that got hurt. And then, because they got hurt, they put up some walls and got hard. And then when they didn't get that fixed, it turned to hatred. You better be careful about your spirit. By the way, some of that hatred was aimed at Jesus Christ. You know why they got hurt? They misunderstood. They just misunderstood. Please get this. A lot of times you get hurt because of a misunderstanding, a false impression, or deception. You think something is so, and it ain't so. This is where I alluded in Sunday school to a message Brother Roger preached out there at the pastor school. He talked to the pastors out there about having an overactive imagination and the troubles it can lead to. And, man, I'm sitting there almost chuckling under my breath because I've been there. Somebody comes up to you, or maybe they call you on Sunday afternoon and say, "Brother Ron, we need to talk." And you say, "Well, okay, when can we talk? What do you want to talk about? When? Where? What's the deal?" "Well, don't want to talk about it on the phone. And I'm out of town, so I'm not going to be there tonight at church. So can I meet with you Monday morning at 10 o'clock? "Okay, I'll see you Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And from Sunday afternoon to Monday morning at 10 o'clock, your mind plays games with you. And you're convinced that they're going to come in and just, it's some terrible event where their teenage boy was caught doing something, or their wife was caught cheating on them, or the husband was caught cheating on them. They're fixing to file for bankruptcy and lose everything they got. They want to talk to you about somebody in the church that's doing something that nobody knows about, and they're going to tell me. They're mad at me and something I've done, and I don't know what I've done, but I'm worried about it." And so for 24 hours, you fret over it and go crazy. Monday morning, 10 o'clock, they come in to tell you they inherited $1 million and won't give the church half of it. Isn't that the way it works? I told those pastors out there, I wrote in my Bible a long time ago, your problems are always bigger in your mind than they are in reality. And you'll fret over things and worry over things and think things. I've had people come to me and say, "So-and-so's mad at me. They didn't even look at me. I just passed them in the hallway and they didn't speak, turned up their nose and didn't even say it and be mad about it." And the guy just didn't see them. He had something. Have you ever just looked right through somebody? And you're not being rude. You're not mad at them. Matter of fact, it's somebody you love. But they saw that, and then they got mad, and then they went around telling the whole church, "He's upset with me. He wouldn't even speak to me. He's supposed to be a Christian. He wouldn't even speak to me." Next thing you know, the whole church is in an uproar over two people getting upset over something that didn't happen. They just thought it happened. Did you know your imagination can run wild? Did you know you are not exempt from deception? Did you know that in the last days, one of the things that's going to increase is people who are deceiving and being deceived? And the devil wants to convince you of something that's not true and play mind games with you so that you can get a bad spirit? Here's my point. You can convince yourself of something and be wrong. You can convince yourself of something and be wrong. Where does that spirit of fear, that spirit of doubt, or that spirit of cynicism come from? When the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, you need to understand that what the devil wants to do is get you to just live with a bad attitude. He wants you to live with a bad spirit. He wants you to be a miserable person so your house will be a miserable place. Daddy, he wants you to get upset over something and stay upset and don't get right so that your children will grow up with a poison in them. Listen, you ever wondered where that spirit of bitterness comes from? That spirit of anger? That spirit of heaviness? He said, "You know not what spirit ye are of." He said that to James and John. You don't even know what kind of spirit you've got. You don't know where it came from. I know people that are bitter over something they think happened. That's a sad state of affairs. You know what the Bible says? And by the way, let me say this before I say that. You might ought to consider where that spirit came from, but there's one thing you can pretty well know. It didn't come from God. You walking around bitter? You walking around holding a grudge? You walking around full of anger? That's not God. That's either Satan or stupid. Amen. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20? It says we are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Your spirit is to bring Him glory. Your spirit is to please Him. Amen. Boy, that's pretty tough. Now let me ask again. Right now, right this moment, what kind of spirit do you have? Can I help you? Cranky? Irritable? Moody? Y'all ever heard about mood swings? Who do you normally think of when you think of mood swings? Male or female? Whoa. You know. But I tell people now that when the Bible talks about last days, men will be effeminate. Men are like women now. They're just moody. Moody. Oh, come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. And it's over petty stuff, usually. It's not even worth talking about. But I'm asking you right this moment, what kind of spirit do you have? Cranky, irritable, moody, upbeat, cheerful, unpredictable? Those things can cause a lot of grief in the house, can't they? I'm talking about your attitude, your spirit, your demeanor. You know what one of the words is? Disposition. It's disposition. That's the reason the word attitude is related to posture. You know, you can tell a lot about a guy's spirit by his posture. Yeah. See there? I do that so well because I've seen so many teenage boys do that.
Right.
Just tired and ill and cranky and the whole world's against me because I didn't get to go out and eat today. Life is rough. I've got my own room, my own bathroom, my own shower, my own television, my own computer, but my cell phone tore up. And the whole world's going to fall down on top of me. I'm talking about what kind of spirit you have. It not only affects your posture, it affects your face. It does. Now, there are some of us, we can't overcome our face. But a good attitude would help. You know what the Bible says over there in Acts chapter 6, verse 10? It said they couldn't resist Stephen's spirit. And as he was dying, they said they saw the face of an angel. They could not resist his spirit. They're throwing stones at him. He's falling down underneath the pile of stones that they threw at him. And they look at him and said his face was like the face of an angel. And he's praying, Father, forgive them. And you can't forgive somebody that just accidentally looked right through you. And this guy's forgiving the fellows that threw stones at him. That's a pretty good spirit. That's a pretty good attitude. The Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. So I was walking through the building this morning right before Sunday school. And you know what I wanted to say to some of them kids? Your face is showing. Because their face was telling on them. Amen. I'm talking about what kind of spirit do you have right now and you don't want to tell me, so let me ask your wife. At least Brother Steve's honest about it. Let me ask you kids. They could tell us, couldn't they? You know not what manner of spirit you're of. Don't know what kind of spirit you got. Don't know where it came from. In Malachi chapter 2, God's talking about the home. That's the context of Malachi chapter 2. And twice He says, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. Listen, fellas, you can bring home a big paycheck. You can put food on the table and in the cabinet. You can build a nice $300,000 home. You quit running the roads a long time ago. You gave up smoking and drinking and you quit hunting and fishing just to spend more time with your wife and kids. But you better take heed to your spirit. Ladies, you keep the house clean, you provide great meals, you're a faithful mother, and you gave up social media. But you better take heed to your spirit. See, there's no doubt in my mind that the powers of darkness are turning up the heat in the last days. If I believe anything strongly, I believe that the devil would love to destroy every home in this church and thereby destroy the testimony of this church. And let me just go ahead and say this to you family members, you couples, especially you young couples. If the devil's not on your back right now, he's coming. He's not going to leave you alone. You need to be ready for that. The world is looking for somebody that's got a spirit of joy and a spirit of peace and a spirit of contentment about them, no matter what the world's like. Somebody whose spirit is good, no matter how much the price of gas goes up. Somebody who has a good spirit, no matter who's in the White House. Somebody who has a good spirit no matter what CNN says, a good spirit no matter what Fox says, a good spirit no matter who they've been listening to on talk radio, a good spirit no matter how ill and cranky the boss is on that day. The world's looking for somebody that's got a good spirit. A spirit of peace and joy and contentment. So I'm talking about Monday through Friday, but you know what? Surely we could come to church with a good spirit. You know, we got a sign back there. What does it say? Please turn off all mobile devices. I think we ought to put up signs outside the building. Leave your mobile devices and attitude in the vehicle. Yeah. You don't need them in here and you don't need that attitude in here. How do I say nicely as a pastor that I look out over the congregation and know that some of you, your spirit is dark and heavy and polluted. And God doesn't want you to have to live the rest of your life like that. We said if that spirit's not of God, we ought to get rid of it. But really, no matter where it came from, I think we could help our own cause. I think there are some things that we can do. Because, you know, there's a lot of things in this society that affect your spirit. Music affects your spirit. And sometimes that's where your spirit came from and you just didn't know it. And I'm not preaching against worldly music. I'm just telling you, good or bad, music affects your spirit. And if you... listen... a lot of kids play video games now. It's not the game that's killing them, it's the music in the game. Man, if I had to listen to some of that stuff I hear when I go to some store somewhere, if I had to listen to that or chose to listen to that, I'd have to call it stupid. That all I'm doing is inviting a bad spirit. Honestly, let me just tell you, music affects your spirit, and all of a sudden you've got this spirit and you don't know where it came from. Turn off the radio. Different men affect your spirit. You ever got around somebody just full of just poison? Don't hang around that guy. I can be having a good day. And from here to the house is 7 minutes. And just happen to turn on talk radio for 7 minutes just to hear what the latest is. And in 3 minutes, I'm ready to fight. I'm feeling good. They got me stirred up on something. I don't even know if it's true or not, but they said it was, so I'm mad. Man, I just need to leave that thing off. I've been around people that listen to it all the time, and that's all they talk about. And they actually think they know something. You only know what he said. But different men will affect your spirit. Music will affect your spirit. Medicine will affect your spirit. Messages will affect your spirit. You don't think a message will affect your spirit? You just won $10,000. You're being audited. It'll affect your spirit. Mistakes will affect your spirit. Yours and those you love. I'm talking about your mistakes and the mistakes of those you love. Samuel was a great man of God, but his spirit was affected by Saul. He got too focused on Saul. And you know what God said to Samuel? Get up. Enough of this. The mistakes of Saul affected Samuel's spirit. The mistakes of Achan had Joshua on his face whining to God. I can't believe we're out here doing this. You said we're going to get the victory and they all whipped us. And God said, get up! Get up! He was praying and God said, stop that! That's right! Because he's whining over the fact that because of Achan's mistake, Ai whipped him. And God said, listen, I told you to go in there and whip him. Now get in there and whip him. And they did. But he was affected by somebody else's spirit. Can I tell you this? Saul was ruined because of what he thought was true of David. And he was wrong. He was literally ruined. When he was little, he knew he was little. He said, man, I'm just out chasing donkeys and you're going to make me king? I'm a donkey chaser. And you're making me king? That was his attitude. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. And then they make him king and a lot of women start singing about David. And Saul's convinced that David's out to get him. And he begins to think things about David that weren't true. And it destroyed him. You can get to thinking things about others that can ruin your spirit. Based on what the Bible says. I'll tell you something that will affect your spirit. Music, men, medicine, messages, mistakes, and meals. Y'all remember some of them times we tried to have an all-day service around here? And we'd have Sunday school, and then we'd have church, and then we'd go out there and have dinner on the grounds and eat like pigs, and then come in here and try to have church. Forget it. You feed a bunch of Baptists, you ain't going to have church for a while. That's the reason we go home and come back at 6. So you can go home and sleep it off. Some of you caught that. I'll tell you what will give you a bad spirit, materialism. You know what Solomon said? He said, man, I got it all. And it's vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, it vexes my spirit because I got that brand new pickup truck and I'm going down the interstate and a rock falls off the back of that dump truck in front of me. It puts a little old bitty ping, a little old bitty ding in the hood. And if I get just right in the sun, I can see it. And now my life is miserable. Isn't that us? It'll still run just fine, still get you from point A to point B, but boy, I'd like to get my hands on that truck driver. Matter of fact, you've chased him down for 30 miles. Stuff. That's the reason kids are so discontented. They got too much. You just shower them with all this stuff for birthday and Christmas and Valentine's Day. Just any holiday you can think of. Groundhog's Day. What'd you get me, Daddy? And there's no end to it. And you're frustrated because it rained on the day you was going to have a yard sale and get rid of all that stuff that you spent all that money buying. Yep. Pretty much got the picture here? I'm talking about what affects our spirit. We're pitiful. I'll tell you a passage that convicts me. Honestly, and I preach on it every year, two or three times because of missions converts. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 talks about those churches of Macedonia. And Paul said about those churches in Macedonia, they had a great affliction, they were in deep poverty, and they had abundance of joy. Deep poverty, great affliction, and abundance of joy. That doesn't match. That's not the way we live. We've got much to be thankful for, overloaded with stuff, and we're murmuring. We have a murmuring spirit. We go to the grand buffet. I've got 483 items, but they don't have the one thing I wanted. And our spirit is immediately affected. Or we come to the Wednesday night meal at the church house. And little Junior walks up and down them tables and goes over and says, "They don't have anything I like." Or Big Junior. I want to ask you to turn to Psalm 51 and I'm going to wrap this up. I'm afraid if I throw in too much humor, we'll forget the seriousness of this thing. What kind of spirit you got right now? Boy, David, who was a man after God's own heart, messed up royally. And it just about destroyed him. But he repents and he gets right. And the Bible says in Psalm 51 verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Your heart affects your spirit. When I get my heart right, I'll get my spirit right. And I want to encourage you, your spirit can be renewed. Somebody said a joyless Christian is a contradiction. It's sort of like an honest thief. If you're joyless, you're not being a Christian. You may be saved, but not a Christian. Satan hates a content, joy-filled child of God. He hates that person. He rejoices when you claim the name of Christ and walk around with a sour, bitter spirit and you don't know if it's Satan or just being stupid. But the devil's rejoicing. Psalm 32 says, "Be glad in the Lord, rejoice and shout for joy." Philippians 4, written from prison, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Amen. And again I say rejoice. Psalm 149, "Let the saints be joyful in glory." What is it that cultivates the right spirit? I talked about the things that affect your spirit, like music and men and materialism and meals and medicine and so on. What is it that would help cultivate the right spirit? Well, one's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the fullness of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, listen folks, it's not hard to figure out, is love, joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy. So if we don't have any joy, what does that tell us? We're seeing the fruit of the flesh and not the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit would help you to cultivate the right spirit. Scripture. You've been reading your Bible and God speak to you? Well, that'll affect your spirit. Years and years and years ago, when I had gotten saved and started doubting my salvation, somebody showed me the word K-N-O-W every time it's found in 1 John. It's like 30 times. You get through reading 1 John, you better know if you're saved or not. And I tell you what happened to me. I'll give you the short version. I'm the youngest of 10, and when my mama died, I couldn't find my birth certificate. My family sort of didn't call me very often, and I got to thinking I was one of them outsiders. I wasn't really her son. And about ate my lunch, about destroyed me. It just ate me up. I was getting so frustrated. And I'd call and say, "Y'all got my birth certificate?" Ask my sisters, "You got my birth certificate? You got my birth?" "No, no." And so, you know, my dad ran all over the country and had women all over the country, so I figured I was just one of those. That she wasn't really my mom. And man, I finally got my birth certificate, and when it said, "Mother Mary Jean Ralph," hallelujah. Boy, did that do me some good. I've got it in print. Where I read 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope so, not might so, not wish so, but know so. I've got a heavenly birth certificate, and boy, that does something for me. The Scripture affects my spirit. The Spirit affects my spirit. The saints affect my spirit. How am I getting around, Buddy Mason? Well, if I'm depressed and walk in the foyer out there and here comes Buddy, in 5 minutes I'm cheered up. Amen. I like old Stephen Walker walking into the church house, man. He makes me, that's him, isn't it? But I see him coming, I'm thinking, man, if anybody's going to enjoy church today, at least he is. He said, I think he's in the flesh. I think you're stupid. Amen. That's a spirit that wants to overcome you so you can't enjoy church. What can cultivate the right spirit? The Holy Spirit, Scripture, saints, singing. I get depressed. I can't sing a lick. Y'all ought to hear me sing songs out of that hymnal that I've never heard before. I don't know the tune. So I make it up. I've caught myself singing great hymns of the faith to the tune of, in 1814 we took a little trip. Somehow or another, I'll get that songbook out, man, I'll start looking through, I'll read them words. And man, next thing I know, my fire's been lit. There's some great songs in there. You know what Martin Luther said one time? When somebody'd bring bad news to him, he'd say, let's sing a psalm to spite the devil. Somebody'd come to him with a bunch of negativity and he'd say, let's sing a psalm and spite the devil. And so in this world we're living in, we sometimes find ourselves not knowing what spirit we are of. And we don't know where it came from, and we don't know if it's Satan, or maybe I'm just being stupid. Now, lest you think I'm aiming that at you, I'm not. I'm aiming it at me. Sometimes I allow myself to get down, dark, dreary, heavy, whatever. And I can think of a million reasons not to have that spirit. Can't think of but maybe one that I should have it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And thereby poison everybody around you. You can get your spirit renewed.
Amen.
So how? It starts by saying, Lord, I'm sorry. That's what David did. Guilty, and he repented and said, oh God, wash me and cleanse me and create a right heart and renew a spirit, right spirit within me. And praise the Lord, you can do it too. Amen. Let's all stand with heads bowed, eyes closed.